My fellow Americans, our country has fallen on hard times. Our economy is going through its worst period since the Great Depression. Political unrest and outcry continues in the Middle East. Egypt, Libya, and Bahrain are experiencing uprisings of earth-shaking proportions. I strongly urge you to stay close to those you love. Hold together as the country you have grown to know and love. Remember to keep the core principles of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as you go on with your daily lives. Most of all, stand strong in the greatest gift we've all been given. When times look their darkest, do what I always do, and crank some music. Let's play some right now. Ah! What is this bullshit? Oh my god, is that a computer or a gosh punch card machine? This is the shit the youth is listening to? Ah, shit, no wonder these countries go to hell in a handbasket. I think my ears are bleeding just from the intro. Holy fuck, that is terrible. Oh man, that hurts. Oh, mother.
Mr. President, please calm down.
Calm down? Shut your ass up and come listen to this.
I'd rather not.
As your commander in chief, I order you to listen to this. Don't run!
Sir, we've got to do this taping now. You'll just have to grin and bear it.
Okay, we'll do it live! When times look their darkest, do what I always do and play some music. Let's hear some now. Wow, that was great. And this is Highballs and Lowbrows.
God, whatever do that again! Oh my god, that sucks! Never play Kesha again, you assholes!
Welcome to High Balls and Low Brows. As you've just heard our president discuss, in his State of the Union, music is in a very sorry state in this union today.
That your ass it is.
I mean, when did it all go wrong? It just seemed like yesterday, you know, we were strolling down the street in our radio flyers, you know, getting ready to go to our friend's house and play some Super Nintendo, you know, and Smashing Pumpkins was on the radio, or, you know, we were listening to some Biggie Smalls on the radio, you know, good music of all genres. I mean, this just reigned in the 90s. You all agree on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. What do you guys think? What's the biggest point in your mind where you think, what's wrong with music today? Can you just give me some insights on what you think's wrong today?
Yes, me and Sarah have it pinpoint.
All right, let's hear it.
Ready?
Yeah.
We believe that
Good start.
We believe that when American Idol came onto the scene, music started to go downhill.
You blame American Idol?
Yes. We blame American Idol. Because
I voted Justin.
Shut up.
Because it brought to America a way that, hey, if I have a good voice, I can go try out. I don't have to be anyone special. I don't have to have $1 million to start myself. I don't need all these supporters. I just need me and my voice. I think American Idol started 9 years ago, I think, right?
Yes.
9 or 10. Yeah, I think
so. Uh-huh. And how old were you then?
Approximately
11. 10.
Yeah, sixth grade.
When did music start to go downhill?
Same time.
02, 03.
Yeah, why did we notice it, though?
I think it was earlier than that. I think it was when the Now CDs came out.
Oh, no, the Now CDs originally came out back in, like, 96 or 97.
I think it was that early.
No way.
No, absolutely not.
You're not calling out the mid-90s, dude. Yeah. There was still
it's not even mid-90s.
No.
There was still good grunge being put out.
You can't honestly tell me.
Marcy Playground, Sex and Candy was my most favorite song on the album.
You can't honestly tell me that groups like Harvey Danger and like other shit like that made the first Now CD were talented.
I've never heard of Harvey Danger.
What's a Harvey Danger?
You must not have listened to the Now CDs like I did.
Okay,
what did I just tell you? Marcy Playground. That song was good and it was so 90s.
I've never heard that.
And Macy Gray's, you know, I try and say goodbye and I choke.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, that was a little later in the 90s. And, you know, it's not the greatest song in the world, but she's not auto-tuned, and you hear the crap in her voice, which is kind of nice to hear. But back onto the American Idol topic.
Yeah.
You guys really think American Idol single-handedly screwed over the music industry?
Yeah. Maybe not single-handedly, but it had a big
impact. Because I think that the music companies realize, oh my god, anyone can sing if they can actually sing. And so we're going to get screwed over. Which, this is kind of off topic, also leads into them picking prettier people, using auto-tune, and making our society all about image.
American Idol turned the music industry into a popularity contest.
I'll agree with you on some points on that, but if American Idol really screwed over the music industry, you'd think that more of their alums would be more successful. Because the only ones that I would quantify as having actual success, you know, obviously Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood, you know, they're obvious. Daughtry. And then you've had, you know, a little smattering of some people, you know, like Clay can put out an album, which sucked. No, Fantasia got nothing. She did The Color Purple on Broadway.
No,
she got a Lifetime original movie.
Ooh.
She has an album out. It just came out, I think.
But no one cares.
Right.
I mean,
and then there's the winners like, what's his face? Taylor Hicks.
Oh no, Taylor
but,
Hicks.
No.
I'm talking about this is the bottom.
Yeah,
of
I know.
Fears.
I'm not saying that American Idol did it. I'm saying the creation of American Idol made the music industry, like the producers and stuff. They had to one up what America could naturally give.
Well, Kelly,
I don't think anybody realized it at the time, though. They didn't realize it would become what it is today. Like, they thought it'd be like a good concept, like making people who actually have talent. Okay, I'll stop. Yeah, I keep making hand motions.
The people that won American Idol didn't necessarily have to succeed in the music business, but they did pave the way for people like Taylor Swift, other pop princesses that are basically cookie cutters of what the example that the people set on American Idol.
Yeah, that's very true. I'd agree with that. Dave, you've been pretty quiet. I know you and I used to watch American Idol a little bit, but what do you think?
I don't think I would put the blame solely on American Idol. I mean, I would agree with the whole popularity thing, how that's an issue today. And to be honest, I don't think you really need talent to be successful. I mean, I'm sorry, but look at Kesha.
Oh, yeah.
Right, no,
extent,
but that's
King
what I'm
Perry.
Saying, that the talent came from American Idol. Yeah, they didn't get very far because they were naturally talented.
Yeah.
So the music industry picked up people who weren't talented, put them on auto-tune, and made them this gorgeous, beautiful person with flowing, gorgeous hair. I'm not talking about Kesha.
Yeah.
Just
dude,
anyone.
Kesha looks like a garbage bag with, like, human appendages.
Really, today's music, I'm convinced all you need is a good beat. And you'll be put on the radio. I mean, look at, like, you know, like a G6.
Oh my god.
Lyrics are awful, but it has a sick beat, and it's popular.
And later on the show, we're going to make a 2-minute pop hit, you know, that'll climb the charts if we ever decide to get it copywritten, so look forward to that. But, so far we blamed American Idol. One thing I would like to just blame, well, I don't know if I can blame it, because, you know, it's like, what do you blame it on, but
I've been waiting all week for this.
When did music become, like, so brain dead? You look in the 90s, you listen to the rock of the 90s, you listen to the rap of the 90s, you even listen to some pop of the 90s, all the lyrics were, like, inspirational. Well, not, like, you know, feel good about yourself inspirational, but, like, you saw what happened with Nirvana. An entire generation of people started, you know, not rebelling, but standing up and just, you know, being themselves.
There was a deeper meaning to what was being said than what was actually being said. And today's music is, it's just so straight to the point. I mean, we watched that video of that guy. What was that guy's name even?
Henry Rollins.
No, the other video.
Oh, I'll have to look that up. It's like
okay.
Anyway,
he made a point saying that, the music used to say, you know, I want to run my fingers through your hair, blah, 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 insinuating that there was going to be, like, making love all night long. But right now, it's like...
Yeah, that's very true. Like,
I guess we're going to bleep that out. So we're going to be saying, having sex with hoes.
Well, that kind of divulges from music being hollow to music being all about sex, which is
But that's just an example of how it used to have a deeper meaning. Like, you could take something, anything else, I don't mean to have it
minus a few groups. Like, you think of, like, NWA, it's all about crime and sex, even back, like...
But it wasn't blatantly obvious.
Well, it was blatantly obvious, but, like, It told a story as opposed to just being, like, glamorizing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Yeah.
But I completely agree with you on that, because, okay, let's see. Back then, a love song that'd be considered kind of taboo, Marvin Gaye, you know, let's get it on. That leaves some to the imagination. Let's compare that nowadays to, I suppose, you know, I told Chantel earlier this week, Rihanna's S&M.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Shannon, you know the lyrics better than I do. What are the lyrics to that, the chorus?
I may be bad, but
I'm perfectly good at it. Sex in the air. You know I don't care. I love the smell of it.
Yeah.
Sticks and stones
may break my bones,
but chains and whips excite me.
Right.
You know, it's like, what? I mean, I would, Dave, do you know the lyrics to the Marvin Gaye song off the top of your head? I mean, you've had it heard like a million times.
I have, but...
I right now
trying
from
to
the
hold
top.
Back this feeling.
Yeah,
I've been feeling fine.
Thank you.
That was my walk-on song for baseball, actually. But
I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this feeling for so long.
And if you feel.
Yeah, so, you know, you can just see the difference there. I mean, I'm going to say this right off the bat. I'm a guy, and I'm getting tired of hearing about sex all the time. You know?
It's not all pop music either. I mean, it's in rock too.
Oh,
like, you know, porn star dancing.
Oh my god.
That's a good example.
Love, hate, sex, pain.
Yeah, anything Godsmack. Buck Cherry. We went to a Buck Cherry concert.
Let's not talk about that.
Well, okay, it wasn't a Buck Cherry concert. It was four bands: Shinedown, Avenged Sevenfold, Buck Cherry, and Saving Abel. And Buck Cherry came out. Their lead singer was wearing a pair of red leather assless chaps. And he went on a 5-minute tirade about picking up a girl at a gas station, doing her in the bathroom, bringing her home, doing her again, and then kicking her out and never calling her again. He went on a 5-minute tirade about that, and he freaking humped the air for half of that. It's just like, when did that become cool? I mean, Van Halen, you know.
Did the crowd go crazy when they heard that?
They did. The crowd
went
crazy.
Yeah.
But,
probably because half of them were drunk.
Van Halen, though, you know, they had some kind of promiscuous songs, but, you know, once again, it left it to the imagination. Hot for Teacher, Beautiful Girls, you know, I'm the One, I guess you could say. When did all music become all about sex all the time? When did they find out, hey, sex sells, let's just whore it out? No,
that's one thing I don't agree with. Like, I think people are smarter than the music industry gives them credit for. Sex doesn't always sell.
Okay, Megan Fox, that's an example. Because she's just pure...
A bad actress.
Yeah, bad actress, nothing but pure sex.
I'm telling you, American Idol, everybody had to one-up. So they picked the pretty people. They made the pretty people, like, it's something that not everyone can achieve. If you have a good voice, you can achieve singing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be on American Idol. However, if you're not beautiful, you're not achieving shit anymore.
That's...
Okay, so that...
Susan Boyle.
Music
all about sex.
I dreamed a dream that never happened. I get what you're saying, though. Look at Katy Perry. You know, outside of a pair of double D knockers, what does she have going for?
Exactly.
Do not tell me she's talented.
Chris Bowden.
There's numerous people, though. Like, they're... Okay, tell me who is on the radio right now that is not good looking and has a good voice?
I honestly couldn't tell you because I don't even listen to the radio.
Who's not good looking?
Wait, no, who's not good looking and
has a good voice?
A genuinely good voice.
Yeah.
Is not auto-tuned.
I'm going to argue to an extent Lady Gaga because I've heard her sing.
Okay.
She can sing without autotune, and some of her tracks on her CDs, you know.
Yeah, there's certain songs, but
she can sing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, give me another example though. From any genre of music.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like Rock 108. They don't utilize the autotune, but they utilize a lot more pitch correction.
Definitely nowadays. Well, we're gonna keep thinking about that, and in the meantime, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue discussing trying to find, you know, anyone. So we'll be discussing the death of the vocalist, the uprising of autotune, and also we will be debuting later on in the show our 2-minute number one hit. So stay tight. This is Highballs and Lowbrows.
Even in the moment with the light upon your face, I'll look up and show the motions I'll use. I can hear breathing. I feel the space. and I. Oh, I'll be the one you'll never know. Once you were the wildest man I've ever known. Free from what the other said.
Welcome back to High Balls and Low Brows. Where we left off, we were discussing how you don't have to be good at singing anymore to make it huge, which, you know, is obviously obvious. Because look who we're hearing on the radio today, you know, Black Eyed Peas. Oh, we also have Super Bowl halftime show how well they can sing. Kesha, who I think is more machine than man, and probably more garbage than machine. And who else on the radio? Katy Perry. Rihanna, to a more extent now Beyonce. So, what do you guys think? When did being able to sing kind of take a back seat?
I think it just all happened naturally. I think it just happened. You know, as singing wise.
I think computers have a lot to do with it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know,
yeah.
You don't have to be perfect. It just fixes everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are definitely some singers out there that can still sing and can still sing very well, but they are so reliant on auto-tune and voiceovers to which they use for live shows and everything like that. They become dependent on it, and they can't seem to stop. It's like a drug addiction.
let's kind of go hand in hand here with the auto-tune and the death of the singer thing. I watched a video on the history of auto-tune. Apparently, auto-tune was originally kind of, like most, you know, inventions, an accident. It was originally constructed by someone, I think, from Exxon, who they were using the some sort of sound wave reverberation to find, you know, oil reserves in the ocean floor. But they also found out it could be used to correct the pitch of someone's voice. How that happens, I don't know. But, Shani, I'm sorry to say, Cher was the first person to utilize auto-tune in a song.
Really?
Yeah, with Life After Love.
Sorry.
The more you know.
I know you like Cher.
I knew that. I love Cher.
I know. So
who doesn't love Cher?
Sonny. But...
Oh! He's dead now. You
exactly.
Can't say that.
So Cher was the first person to really utilize auto-tune in her song, which most of us, I think when we first heard that song, we didn't know what that was.
But she used it in an interesting kind of artsy way. She didn't use it really for, you know what I mean? It wasn't like she was pitch correcting everything. She did it for like an artsy factor.
Isn't that what the Black Eyed Peas do though?
Oh my God. I'm not going to argue that.
Uh-oh.
But
so,
that was the original.
Yeah, I...
Using it as a normal tool.
But Cher could sing. She had already proved herself were able to sing. The Black Eyed Peas never did anything like that.
Fergie told me with Big Girls Don't Cry.
Oh, derp. Please.
No. Dave, you're going to say something?
Yeah, just along the whole auto-tune thing. I mean, we already touched on Black Eyed Peas. T-Pain, all he is auto-tune.
T-Pain is all auto-tune, but he is in the sense that he's famous for just being auto-tune. And,
yeah.
You know, that kind of will dip into later on, you know, talking about how auto-tune has killed hip-hop and rap. You know, we'll save that for a later episode. You know, I think if you're someone like T-Pain that embraces the auto-tune and you make it about being auto-tuned, then it's not as bad as someone like the Black Eyed Peas, where they act like they're visionaries and stuff, you know, with all their auto-tune and being computerized when... Really, they're not, because then when they're, you know, they're live, they try to act like they're so cool.
Okay, my T-Pain quote is, he says that auto-tune just worked for his voice, and there wasn't anyone else doing it. I would like to argue that T-Pain shared it first.
When did T-Pain come out?
It says 2003.
2003.
And Cher's Believe came out in 1998.
Okay. So, good, you got some information on auto-tune here. Yeah... You know, did anyone really use auto-tune before T-Pain, though? I mean, like, exclusively use auto-tune?
For a whole entire song, you mean?
Yeah, like, you heard him, you weren't listening to a performer, you were listening to an auto-tune performer. I mean, I know you can say Backstreet and NSYNC both used auto-tune, which is, you know, obvious in some of their songs, but they sang really fast songs with harmonies, so needing the pitch correct was kind of a necessity. But that was using auto-tune for the
auto-tune
sake...
Auto-tune has good...
It's never a necessity.
Yeah.
But it holds a good purpose. Mm-hmm. It saves time. When you're in a studio recording, if it's one or two or three notes that needs quick fixing, mm-hmm. you can easily fix those. Instead of having to pay more time to be in the studio longer, it makes your session quicker and you're saving money.
Yeah.
So the point is that there's a good use for it, but when you're overusing it, how do you even become popular when you're overusing it?
Yeah, and discussing what you said, how auto-tune has its purpose and originally served its purpose, you know, and you might need to use it on a couple notes. I know you're a Cher fan, like we said. A good example for Cher is going back on her I Got You, Babe song. Right, I was listening to it just the other day on the radio, and on the bridge, she hits a note that is flatter than day-old Coca-Cola.
But that song, it doesn't matter. Back then, it didn't matter because it was a good song. And this just goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It was a good song, and it lasted.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter if there was a note wrong here and there.
But, yeah, we're just saying, you know, like what you were talking about, how auto-tune can serve a purpose of just tweaking a couple of notes. I was just saying that's one of the notes it could tweak,
right,
if that were nowadays. But... You know, do you hear a lot of auto-tune on American Idol? I don't think you do because...
I don't think you do.
No.
Because you hear a lot of sour notes, especially people who are doing covers. Back to the death of the singer. One question I have, when did the singer die? As in, not just being able to sing, but
a long time ago, you turn on the radio. This is even before our time, and Judy Garland would be on the radio. Barbra Streisand would be on the radio. A jazz singer, like Mel Torme or Frank Sinatra would be on the radio. How come we don't hear that anymore? How come people like Josh Groban are selling 7-8 million copies of, their albums each time they come out, and they're huge and they're worldwide popular and they always sell at stadiums? Why don't we hear them on the radio?
Because kids today are trained to, like, sick beats, and they don't really care what the words... There's an Eminem song, and it talks about, you don't really even care what I'm saying in the song, like, bitches, hoes.
Kids are interested in the music where the artists aren't singing for the music. Mm-hmm. These artists are singing for publicity and money.
And glamour.
And glamour.
Yeah, that's very true.
And I think... I mean, I don't listen to Josh Groban or any of those kind of singers that much, but I'm sure that they have they're much more genuine in their music making process,
mm-hmm.
rather than all your auto-tune glamorous stars today.
Well, it used to be, you didn't have to have glamour to be a singer, to be an actual vocalist. I mean, people loved Sammy Davis Jr. Sammy Davis Jr. looked like an old shoe. He had a glass eye, for God's sake, and... people love to hear him sing. Frank Sinatra wasn't the handsomest guy in the world. Judy Garland was drugged up half the time, but as long as they could sing, that was the important part.
It was about musicianship, and now it's about a sick beat. And can I dance to this?
Mm-hmm.
Can I grind with this guy to this beat?
Now hold that thought. We'll get right back to that. How do these vocalists then nowadays still become so popular if they're not getting radio play and airplay? I mean, that's one thing that boggles my mind. You never hear Josh Groban on the radio. You never hear, back in the 90s, Celine Dion on the radio. Whitney Houston, you never hear them. Their albums sell like hotcakes still, and, people going to see them in concert. So...
I think the use of a few main other mediums like iTunes... charts and XM radio. XM radio plays a lot of different stuff. Like, there's actually a whole radio station devoted to Pearl Jam, which whenever I can, I listen to that.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's bigger than people think, because a lot of people do listen to XM and Sirius Satellite.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think FM radio is what it used to be, anyways.
The FM radio. It's really gone down because...
And obviously the internet helps.
I've gotten really close to actually yelling in frustration a couple times because, frequently on drives to Waterloo, which you guys, what would you say, is probably a 25-30 minute round trip.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I can go through the entire time, go through an entire series of FM stations, probably all 20 to 30 we have in Cedar Falls, Waterloo area, and the whole time I can't find one song I want to listen to. And I know people say there's a lot of junk on TV... Well, at least on TV, you can flip over to History Channel and find something, like...
Discovery Channel.
Yeah, Discovery Channel, find, like, Mythbusters, or find that, auction show where they go and, look for auctions. Yeah, Ghost Hunters. But it's a very hard thing for me to do, to go through a radio station and find one thing I'll listen to.
It's too commercialized. Half of it's commercials now. Like, Rock 108, if I want to, flip it over as a last resort, it's mm-hmm. either commercial or, bands like Saving Abel and... Shaman's Harvest and Taddy Porter,
Nickel.
Caroline Spine,
Caroline Spine,
bands that will never be anything.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's the sad thing, because when we saw Saving Abel in concert, they were a good band.
They were okay.
They were really young back then, and
but they're going downhill now.
Oh yeah, Dave and I thought that
we thought they were going to be legit.
We did.
But look up their national anthem at a NASCAR race.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the worst national anthems you'll ever hear.
Yeah.
Worse than Christina?
And I mean,
we don't want to bring up national anthems again, but that's just a prime example of how bad Saving Abel is today.
They're all about sex, too.
Oh, yeah. It just goes back to how everything is all about sex, because their first album, they have some really meaningful songs on there.
18 Days.
That was a song, for the troops, and I was there at the concert. I got chills when they sang that. Yeah. Everyone paid attention to that song. Lying Face Down.
That's a good song.
Yeah, it's not the most meaningful song in the world, but, it's talking about I need help.
But then there's, Addicted.
Yeah, Addicted.
But
And just the new song, it's called Sex Is Good.
Oh, yeah, I'm not in love.
I have to fake it. I leave if I could. I'm not in love, but the sex is good. And we wonder why the divorce rate's climbing and stuff. It's just because this is all the bullshit kids listen to nowadays. They think this is life. They think, you know, it's all about this little pocket romance you'll find when you're freaking dry humping some guy in a club. Ah, it's just so frustrating. Because it's understood, I'm not in love, but the sex is good. So we're saying we're just sticking to each other for sex.
Reese, sometimes that stuff happens.
What stuff happens? I'm not in love, but the sex is good? Okay, fine.
It happens.
But children nowadays listening to this are basing their whole lives off of this stuff. They think this is, you know, their Bible, their Torah, their Quran. This is what they listen to and what they believe in.
Just because something happens doesn't mean you need to sing about it, too. I take this. I don't sing about it, though.
Hey, that's our song title, I Take
I Take We're going to write a song about taking
No, we're not.
How bad it is. You don't. That's our new song.
Girls don't poop, so therefore we can't be in the
Girls
song.
Girls don't then. Poop.
You hear the book, everybody poops.
Nobody poops but you.
Yeah. Now, I'm sorry, I've lost my train of thought getting so frustrated here. You know, I think the teen pregnancy rate is on a skyrocket.
Because it's glamorized.
It's parabolic.
Exactly. When we all went to Cedar Falls High School, how many pregnancies were there while we were there?
Two or three.
Maybe two or three?
I think today. I think there's maybe like two or three at Pete and Holmes each now.
Yeah.
And then CF, there's double digits.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I don't even know. I can't even begin to count how many there are in Waterloo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is just sad. I mean,
yeah, there's a reason why we're called a Generation Triple X.
Yeah, amen. But, you know, what happened to the writing of serious, meaningful lyrics?
Let's just make it a bit of a comeback. If you listen to a couple select stations on XM, or
we don't all have XM though. I can't afford XM.
Pandora.
Oh yeah, Pandora.
Pandora. Pandora. Look up an artist that you think is genuine. Like I just punched in like Nine Inch Nails or Pearl Jam Radio,
mm-hmm.
and they cough up some actually decent artists.
That's true.
I know. A lot of you guys can't afford XM, but there's a station called Alt Nation.
I've heard of that.
It's really good. Some of it's kind of, you know, a little bit too light and, you know, poppy for me, but
yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's actually some good artists. I think Tighten Up by the Black Keys was number one for like 7 or 8 weeks straight.
Yeah, I remember when I first heard Tighten Up. I was laid up this summer because I had knee surgery, and I slept in the basement just because it was cool down there. You know, I had a whole leg brace on and was sweating buckets. I turned on a VH1 or MTV. I think it was VH1.
Did you see the video?
Yeah, 2:30 in the morning. I saw the video. I heard the music, and I'm like, wow, this is so super simple. The lyrics are just fun. They're not, you know, glamorizing sex or any of this crap. And I'm like, what happened to music like this? It was a catchy beat. It got stuck in my head for days.
I absolutely love the Black Keys. And you know a band is good when your dad likes it. Like, I showed my dad some old Black Keys, and he was mm-hmm. like, wow, this is really good. Yeah. And he's a blues, classic rock kind of guy, and he loved them.
And, you know, if you go to a concert nowadays for an artist, it used to be back then you would know who was playing in their band. But nowadays, when you go to a show and there's a band backing an artist, you're like, I have no idea who these guys are. I thought this was all computers.
Yeah.
I mean, got to think of an example. You Little Richard. You know, Little Richard James Brown. You'd go and you'd be like, oh, it's such and such, you know, leading the horn section. You got this guy on the sax.
Yep.
And I hate to say this, to an extent, Dave Matthews Band can keep that tradition alive. Because you had Coffin playing on the sax, so you knew who that was. Excuse me, that's an ad. You knew bass, you know, the bass player. I used to remember his name. I can't remember these names.
Stephen Lessard, I think.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But Dave Matthews Band, the one thing they have going for them, they actually have instrumentalists in the band, you know. I mean, Dave Matthews, I think, sings on just about every track, right? It's basically the Dave Matthews show, but you know who's in the band. Just like, you know, back a long time ago, the Tonight Show band, Doc Severinsen. You knew who Doc Severinsen was. What happened to the people behind the band? Let's think about that for a bit and come back to it. This is Highballs and Lowbrows.
Down on the broken door, escape. to sweep her perfume, burn up the living room, can't hold on. Get out while you can. Don't look back ever again. The world we've built has just fallen. It all goes in a second. And it gives an open door. We're sliding through, don't know what for. Can't hold on. Everything's in gasoline. Our policies are burning. Can't hold on.
When we were gone, we were discussing some major things here. We kind of really liked what we got on the topic of hollow lyrics, you know, and people that just... Why do kids believe what they hear on the radio nowadays? We came up with a really short list of the ones that came right off the top of our heads. Bruno Mars, John Mayer, Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, like you said. So
Miley Cyrus.
No, Miley doesn't even have... She's all sex, dude. Can't be tamed. But yeah, let's get on the hollow lyrics. Let's take them all one by one. Bruno Mars. Dave, I know you live in a household where Bruno Mars is played. Want to tell us about that?
Once Grenade came out, that was over. I hate the guy. Toss it in the trash. That's great.
Even Billionaire.
Are you kidding me?
Even Billionaire when he collaborated with
B.O.B.
What's his face? Yeah, B.O.B.
Yeah.
That was...
It's just such an... I mean, we ripped on Grenade last episode. I need to actually pull up these lyrics right now, though, just so I can see for sure. But, I mean, what was the first real song came out with? Was it Billionaire, or was it Just the Way You Are?
I think it was Billionaire.
Well,
that's the first song I heard. I was in Colorado with a bunch of friends, and I heard it on the radio at least 10 times.
Yeah.
And I heard California Girls at least 40 times.
Yeah.
Sticking
on Bruno, though. I mean, the opening of that song, I wanna be a billionaire so freaking bad.
Freaking.
Who cares? Is he bad at it? He says freaking. I mean, seriously. CeeLo Green using freaking. That was meant to be more in a parody manner, just to be like, for the shock factor. This guy's saying freaking so he can be a
a badass.
You is necessary, not like
fucking. Was babysitting actually, and these kids were like, "Oh my gosh, he says a naughty word."
Oh, what do you know? No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, it's oh my just God. By all the things I never had, I want to be on the cover of Forbes magazine, stand next to Oprah and the Queen. You know what that does? When kids hear that, they're like, "Oh man, I want to be rich too. When's it gonna happen? I don't know. I'll be a huge pop star someday."
Does anyone really want to be on the cover of Forbes?
I'd rather be on the cover of Men's Health.
I'd rather be on the cover of Men's Health or GQ
or Rolling Stone
or Wired
or Entertainment Sports Weekly,
Rolling. Illustrated.
I would be on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover in my man bikini.
Wow! I'd rather buy that and read it through than listen to another Bruno Mars song.
Oh. And
that's,
you know,
how bad I hate everything about Bruno Mars and everything else.
Looking at the Grenade lyrics, take it all, but you never give. Should have known you was trouble from the first kiss. Had your eyes wide open. Why were they open?
That's creepy.
Oh, I've been through that myself. Well, guess what, Bruno? If you saw that her eyes were open, your eyes are probably open, too. Gave you all I had, but you tossed in the trash. You tossed in the trash. To give me all your love is all I ever asked, because I don't understand. That's such
horse crap.
That's horse crap. You know, I saw a parody online. I'd like to give a shout out to Key of Awesome. These guys do some very awesome song parodies and music videos. They did a Bruno Mars Grenade parody, first line, "We just met, but I know you're my soulmate." Isn't that basically what he does?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Let's see. Of course, I'd catch a grenade for you, throw my head in a blade for you, jump in front of a train for you. I'd do anything for you. I'd go through all this pain, take a bullet through my brain. Yes, I would die for you, baby, but you won't do the same. Oh, poor Bruno. We've all been in these relationships before. He really speaks to me. No, he doesn't. You know, if I went out to a public meeting and said, "I'm sick of politicians and high taxes," yeah, I'd get a lot of reaction. Do I mean it? No. Well, you know, a lot.
You don't mean it?
Well, okay, I mean it, but you know what I'm saying. It's easy to get a reaction.
Yeah.
You just gotta. Key of Awesome, another thing with John Mayer. You can't. What is it? Let me find the lyrics to that real quick. We'll come to that John Mayer thing when I get to it. It's so perfect. But what else has he done? Just the way you are.
Dave. No. It speaks for itself.
I don't
know.
Not even touching that.
No.
One.
And I mean. Everyone loved that song. And the thing is, he sings so high all the time. And
yep.
Nowadays people transfer, "Oh, he can sing high and loud. He must be really good." No? No?
Some people can pull that off, but like
Bee Gees,
Muse.
They were good.
Like Muse, they can pull that off. When they go falsetto, it's good, but like...
Yeah, that's for... what's what I'm looking for? Embellishment, though. That's not for pure style singing. This guy's trying to copy Michael Jackson. But like Barry White, you know? That covers two things. You don't have to have a high, screamy, whiny girl voice. And his song is left to the imagination. Can't get enough of your love? Of course he's talking about sex, but he's letting you think about it. He's not saying, "I'm going to shove my A in your B, man." He's saying, oh.
Did you say in your B?
My A in your B. I don't want to swear too much on the show.
Insert tab my A in your B.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
and one last thing on Bruno Mars.
P in the V, Reese.
Tennis in the
vagina. Way he dresses, he always has those giant hipster block sunglasses, that stupid fedora, and
fedora.
That like
huge, oh, the fedora.
That huge smiley smirk on his face, like, "Yeah, I'm all that. I know it." I mean, look up Bruno Mars. I'm gonna look up Bruno Mars on Google Images right now. I bet you half those shots.
I love that face that he makes.
Yeah, I know. I bet you half those shots will be that. Hold on. Let's see, Bruno Mars images.
There's the fedora.
Oh, there's that little smirk. There's the smirk. There's the fedora. There's the fedora. Oh, let's see. Oh, there's a peace sign, two fingers. Oh, there's
stole that from Jason Mraz.
Let's see. There's his blocky hipster shades. Oh, there's the shades and the glasses and the hat again.
Yeah, had the fedora first.
There's that little duck face smirk. I'm just so sick of it. I'm so sick of these pop artists think they're hot because they sell albums.
Reese, calm down.
No, I will not calm down. I would throw a grenade at him. I would throw his head on a blade for him.
I would eat a grenade.
I would push it in front of a train for him. Okay, anyway. Next on the list, John Mayer.
Again, I don't listen to a lot of his stuff, so this isn't my topic.
Well, let's first start off with him just being a general asshole.
Mm-hmm. Shani, okay. You sound like you have a lot of things to say about that.
That's a little harsh.
When you lead girls on, you're going to get a lot of haters. Mm-hmm. For example, Brett Favre, Tiger Woods.
Well, that wasn't so much leading women.
That's not
on,
leading it. Women. On. That's just
That's
just leading them.
That was more leading in women.
Yes, yeah. Especially in Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Do you get my point?
No.
Because I'm
had horrible examples just now.
Yeah, you were saying though, Chantel. What was that? What was that Taylor Swift song? Didn't Taylor Swift do a song?
Okay, Taylor Swift did the song "Dear John" about how he let her on, and she was young. She's 19. How old is John Mayer?
John Mayer, I don't even want to know.
Mid to late 20s, maybe 30s. I don't know.
And
he's too old.
I don't care.
He led the poor girl on. Like, you don't fuck with someone who's half innocent still. And I've been there. I've been there. Like, that song speaks to me specifically. And you, when you're an older guy and you know that you're playing games with women, don't do it to an innocent 19-year-old girl.
Yeah. Do it the half. Do it the half.
And you know what? And don't talk about your ex-girlfriends, like Jennifer Aniston. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the shit about her, no, not cool.
But yeah, look at some of John Mayer's songs. I remember the first song that came out was that one, "I Wanna Run Through the Halls of My High School."
Oh yeah,
that was
"Body Is a Wonderland."
That was that. The high school song was kind of catchy. One. I mean, it was just fun to listen to. It had that, you know, kind of dissonance and echoish sound, you know, which is kind of easy to listen to, so I didn't mind that song.
Yeah, I'll say it. Yeah, the first CD, I was charmed by John Mayer. I thought, oh, this is some lovely, easy listening music.
Leading but you on.
My mom was charmed by John
Mayer. But the more and more you go into, like, he went into songs, you know, "Your Body's a Wonderland." Most recently, "Heartbreak Warfare."
Yeah, no.
Uh-huh. Look at some of the lyrics on this. Let's see. "Clouds of sulfur in the air, bombs are falling everywhere. It's heartbreak warfare.
Warfare.
Once you want it to begin, no one ever really wins. It's heartbreak warfare. If you want more love, why don't you say so?" Shut up, John Mayer. Like, you really know this crap. And you know, it goes back to more, again, on what kids are listening to. They're like, oh, we just need to just totally love, and as long as it feels good, it's fine. Nope. Nope.
Yeah, the kids these days, they don't know what passion is.
No.
The definition is lost. Scholars have lost the definition.
They know what sex is.
Yeah, they know what that is.
Oh, no, even then they don't know what that is. They know what grinding and, you know, what sex in the songs they tell them is. They don't know the love behind it. You know, like we've brought Marvin Gaye and, you know, those guys sang about. They sang about the love. What happened to love, you know, in the whole relationship? Why is it all just sex? Why is it all just the sex?
So there's lack PCT. Of chivalry. What?
Chivalry?
I can't say
I just that. Corrected Chantel, therefore I have no chivalry. Oh, I failed. John Mayer. Okay, let's see if the video's loaded yet. No, it's still taking its time to load. But
really, nobody has it anymore.
No one does have it anymore. Especially, you know, John Mayer. Yeah. Everyone acts like, oh, he's a sensitive soul. Guess what? I could probably go through my high school chorus and anywhere in my old high school, pick out a guy. Chances are I can play acoustic guitar. Chances are he can write his own music, you know, and sing. So, you know, where's the specialty in that? So we found the lyrics to the "Key of Awesome" video with John Mayer, and you know, some of the lyrics just lampoon him and nail him right on the head. If you want to know how to get laid, it's really really very easy. Sit down and write a love song. Make sure that it's cheesy. What are some other lines in there? I tell the woman exactly what they want to hear. I whisper that bullshit up in their ear. Another one. You can't resist me when I sing and play right up in your face. Mm-hmm. I mean, Woody mentioned wanting to play Everlong on the acoustic guitar at his variety show. Every guy wants
it
to
would have
it.
Worked.
Yeah, every guy thinks that'll work. And you know, the sad thing is, women are...
He's single!
A lot of, you know, girls nowadays are promoted to believe that will work. And that's how you find love. You find an innocent person. Look at Twilight. Oh, he can play the piano when he wrote me a song. Oh my gosh, this must be what love is.
He has a Volvo.
Whatever. So,
wash your mouth.
I feel like we've lampooned John Mayer enough. Last on our like short list was Katy Perry.
Yep.
You know,
diversity.
I know some people that like Katy Perry. I don't mind Katy Perry if I listen to her in small doses. You know, some of her music is just good filler for when you're bored. We'll get onto that later with Henry Rollins' video. But all of her songs, one or two chords. I mean, you can sing Teenage Dream, I think, on one chord. California Girls is on one chord. You know, and the chorus sounds exactly like TikTok because she has ripped off TikTok.
Really, Reese? We didn't know that.
No, Firework. That's basically one chord, yeah, too.
We could write those lyrics to Firework.
Which we're going
to
do right on our break. We're going to make our song. But what do you guys think of Katy Perry?
Honestly, when she first came out, I was like, oh, this is fun. It's like candy pop. It's a good dance beat. It's fun to listen to.
Whipped cream.
What doesn't she have her boobs in these videos? Whipped cream? Fireworks? You know, what else? Anything else I can think of? No. But, you know, I don't care.
That's enough.
Keep Austin did a parody of her, too.
I own the second album, and really, I only like, honestly, two songs on there.
Really? Teenage Dream and...
No, not even really? That one. Oh, okay, I like Teenage Dream.
Like, Teenage Dream was your anthem for a while.
But it died out. Yeah, just like any pop...
The more she does, the less you like her.
It goes on and on, but it's actually two of them that never aired.
Yeah. I agree with Reese. It's like Aerosmith. I can only take so much in small doses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even with Katy Perry, it's like, I can out of those three artists that we named, she's probably the most acceptable that I would actually listen to a little bit of.
But the thing is, Aerosmith, you choose not to listen just because you don't care for Aerosmith, so like as opposed to they suck. Because, you know, Aerosmith wrote some pretty catchy hooks and, you know, lyrics and riffs. Mm-hmm. And, like, Janie's Got a Gun, that's a true story. They're telling a story there. This isn't...
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, don't care for Aerosmith. You're not listening to them by choice, as opposed to Katy Perry, which is grotesque.
All you hear.
And, you know, people are like, oh, her lyrics are all about girl empowerment and stuff. She's a great role model. No, she's not a good role model. Rosa Parks was a good role model, you know. People that actually do stuff are a good role model. I mean, you know, we wonder why violence is going up. Listen to, you know, just look at some of the lyrics, you know, about guns and violence and stuff. It's heartbreak warfare.
Hey, Dave, you want to punch him?
Whatever. But
perhaps later.
You know, perhaps. Even Katy Perry songs just be basically all about sex, you know. Let's go all the way tonight. No regrets. Just love. We can dance until we die. You can put your hands on me in my skin-tight jeans. Get your heart racing with skin tight jeans. You know, sex on the beach, you know.
Yeah.
Come on. Like I said earlier, I'm a guy and I'm getting a little tired of sex, you know, on the radio all the time.
I did actually buy a nail polish.
I was going to say, add that on the radio part.
Skin tight denim. I did buy a nail polish because the color was skin tight denim. Yeah. The name of it.
Now, to prove everyone out there wrong who's listening, I was saying, you guys are taking that pop music because it's popular and really good and stuff. We are going to take a challenge. We have GarageBand. Albums have been made on GarageBand. We have a decent microphone. You need a microphone to sing. We're going to put together, in 2 to 5 minutes, a chart-topping number one smash. Are you all ready for this? Here we go. Start the clock.
And we're back. And lo and behold, we cheated. We spent about half an hour to 40 minutes on that. So we're sorry, pop music. I guess it doesn't take a day to make an album. It takes 2 or 3 days. So we're back now, and we're going to discuss the topic of... there's still some hope for music. I mean, there's some good music out there. You know.
We've been ripping on the modern stuff, but there... Granted, there are several great artists that are still out there.
And even then, modern stuff isn't that bad. You know, like we said earlier, we don't mind. If I'm going down the radio, I don't want to think, you know, I'll listen to Kesha, I'll listen to Katy Perry, you know, all those guys. I mean, it's just kind of like...
Background music.
It's good background music. Like, I'm sitting around my dorm room, I'm hungry, I really don't want to, like, you know, make myself something. I'll throw in a pack of ramen noodles and eat that, you know? I won't, you know, go down to the kitchenette in the basement and make tuna helper, but if I want something quick and fast that'll satisfy me, I'll take ramen noodles. We're going to show a quick video of a guy named Henry Rollins. Wood, can you tell us a bit about this video?
Henry Rollins, the former lead singer of Black Flag, his thoughts on music, it's basically straightforward what he thinks music is coming to. And something like comparing it to when he was a member of Black Flag about 30 years ago. So it should be pretty interesting.
I think music is alive and well, doing really great for a lot of reasons, one of which is the internet. And so many bands who do not hold up FM radio, Clear Channel, or MTV, or Music Plus, or whatever you all have going here, they hold none of that in any esteem whatsoever. I buy records from bands on a regular basis. They only make CDRs. They can't be bothered. They're like, we're only making 25 of this one. And that, well, what happens when the 25 is over? Borrow it and copy it. Put it on the internet. Give it away. We're making another record. And a lot of those noise bands, like, you know, we made a cassette. You have to borrow it from him. That's the new album. That's the new album. It's at his house. I mean, I love that. We're doing a tour of basements. We're playing basement parties. That's our whole national tour. We're like, hey, don't you want to be in this magazine? No. Are you kidding? Be in Rolling Stone? How lame. Like, they're running away from that, and which is giving the major labels worry, iTunes worry, FM worry, and let them be stuck with their Nickelbacks and their Rascal Flats. Fuck, you can have them. And the poor kids who get suckered into that musical miasma, I tried to help. We played really loud. You could have listened. But you're too busy going, yeah, yeah. And whatever those bands do, you know, Christian rock is there for you who lack courage and intellect. And so I think music is great right now. And to see greasy stoners crawling amidst ruined equipment making for a show, making all the savage noise where there's like 8 people watching, this to me is kind of the future of music, because the stadiums and your U2s and all of that, that to me is like the death knell of music. That's music that is now packaged in a can. It comes shrink-wrapped behind a bulletproof plastic like an Oscar Mayer wiener. And it has that much impact. I mean, you don't need Oscar Mayer food products for nutrition or any kind of value other than you're really depressed, so you eat like 10 pounds of it. And so a lot of music now sounds like it was made in a computer. It's all solid state. Digitally enhanced mid-range. No one sweated. No one loved it enough. The music is unloved. It's like corporate food. No one, the guy behind the in the kitchen at Olive Garden really doesn't care if you love his linguine. He's just order 37 and he hates his job. The guy at Subway is not trying to make you the best tuna fish sub you've ever had. He's just trying to get through the freaking day. And that's what a lot of music sounds like to me. It's like unloved corporate music. Or maybe the guys in the band are motivated, but they're getting screwed by the labels and the business of it. And so music is going to be fine, because right now, the rubber's met the road and the fat is off the land. There's nothing I ever taught Randy Rampage. You know what I mean? There's nothing I ever taught Greg Ginn. Yeah, I was like a youngin', so I kind of came up kind of wide-eyed looking at these people. I bought their records. They didn't buy mine. You know, they had already made their records. They were making them by the time I walked in. So I'm the stepchild. But I think what holds interest of those days is this is bands who are doing it with primitive equipment compared to now, no resources compared to now, not any kind of technical or technological ease that you can have now, Pro Tool, pitch correction. Believe me, there's bands I could mention. There's not one real vocal, unpitched vocal on their multi-platinum record. Trust me. If the guy really had to do it right now, dogs would start howling three provinces over. And so there is a fascination with those times, because you listen to the music, you go, damn, you can play that loud and still offend somebody. You can play that loud, and now I want to get up in the morning. So there's a lot of it, you know, it is truly inspired. Those times were truly inspired. And these are people dealing with rudimentary gear next to no budget. And so it was only the innovative ones who kind of really made a statement. And this is everything from The Clash to Black Flag, Dead Kennedys, DOA, the great avant scene of New York with Suicide and DNA and Mars and Lydia Lunch and all of those bands. There was a great time in music, and those records, they hold up marvelously. They do not sound dated. They really don't. You put them on, you're like, damn, I forgot it was that good. And even just the look, just kind of the homemade clothes and all of that stuff, everyone looked great. All the cheekbones and acne and all the attitude, you're like, damn, man, all right. They kind of look like you want to put posters of these people up on your wall, like you got Hendrix up there. It's cool like that. Where these days, a lot of the rock bands, they're very beautiful photos, and they look really well fed, and their nails are very nice, and their hair is magnificent, and they don't look very dangerous.
Pretty powerful stuff in what he said there.
It is, yeah.
He really hit some things on the head. He kind of said, and I agree with that, about the Oscar Mayer products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very straightforward.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And, yeah, that's a little bit more of what we need today.
Mm-hmm.
Some straightforward critics who aren't trying to please everyone.
Yeah. I mean, not just... You don't even have to please as long as you make money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is music whoring itself out? I'd say it's whoring itself out.
For the most part, it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he made a really interesting thing about bands, you know, that only make 20 copies of a CD, you know, to throw into their MacBook.
Just have their friends borrow it.
Mm-hmm. And be like, you want the album? It's over at Steve's house. Gotta go get it.
Mm-hmm.
So... And, you know, we find some stuff like that on that PodSafe audio website we use. Give a shout out to Fundamental Elements again. You know, really like them. Wouldn't have found them if we hadn't, you know, gone searching for them. But not just underground music. There's quite a few, I don't want to quite say mainstream, you know, but artists that are gaining some popularity and momentum. Adele, she stays, you know, really true to herself. And you can hear her sing. That she's not out of tune. You guys know. We have the Adele album in our studio right here. So, what do you... Chantel, you've heard the whole album, haven't you? Whose album is it, then?
I just bought it.
Oh, you just bought it? Oh, well, I've heard half the album. I haven't heard the whole thing.
But the fact that she bought the album, it shows, mm-hmm. you know, pledge of faith.
You know, she's an artist that not everyone knows, but people that know music will know Adele, I think. And I don't mean classical music, stuff like that. I mean people that enjoy listening to good music will listen to Adele. What do you guys like most about her?
I like her style. I think she has a voice that's all her own. She has her own sense of style, both musically and physically, and she's not afraid to show it.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. What about you, Chantel?
She has a jazzy, bluesy feel, and you don't really get that from many pop artists anymore.
And does she write her own music? I think she does, doesn't she? At least I
would almost say yes.
I'm pretty sure she wrote Hometown Glory, at least. That's a good song. And a lot of the stuff she writes, she's really passionate about when you sing it. You know, you're not listening to a computer. You're listening to someone sing their soul out. Yeah. And, you know, we just don't hear enough of that in music. Another good artist that's kind of getting some popularity going on now is the Black Keys. Mm-hmm. Wood, I know you're really into Black Keys.
Yeah, over the last week. I have... Ironically, I have all their albums except for the one that, you know, people know called Brothers. And
Brother!
Yeah. And I love these guys because they traveled through time and they sound like they're basically from the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
They have that it's just only two guys. I think, like, only a handful of their songs have bass in them. Their first two albums were recorded on an 8-track in their drummer's basement.
And that's passion right there.
That's, yeah. And it's unbelievable how talented they are. And even their new stuff, like Tighten Up, the music video is pretty funny. I enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, that's a really good music video.
And I just really love them, and they've got me into like learning instruments that I missed out on in my teenage years, and maybe trying to emulate their guitar sound. You know, mm-hmm. hopefully get some music going.
And you know, in the Henry Rollins video, he made another good point. A lot of people, you know, they're cross country too. We play in basement parties.
Yeah.
Black Keys did a lot of basement parties to get started.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, with programs out there like Final Cut and you know, GarageBand, things like that, it's for the good and the bad. The bad, you get a lot of crap, like, you know, what we just made, and you can get some good stuff. A lot of early artists, you know, will make an album on GarageBand. I know, was it Nine Inch Nails made an album on GarageBand?
Yep, they made, I think it was The Slip. They recorded on GarageBand and then put it for free on their website.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. You don't need a whole lot. Dave, you listen to any Black Keys at all? Or have we not gotten into that?
I only know a few songs, but mm-hmm. from what I've heard, I like them a lot. They're really genuine.
Yeah, I said earlier, even my dad likes them, and he's basically stuck in the past when it comes to music.
Mm-hmm.
But he really liked them. I lent him a few of their albums.
They have an older feel to them. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
An older, messier feel.
Yeah,
and it's simple. It's essentially similar to pop music in the sense that you don't really have to think to enjoy it. But when you do want to think and enjoy it, you can do that.
Yes.
It's kind of like, you know, the Black Keys are like a really good salad. If you're hungry and you want something that satisfies, you know, you'll get a salad, just throw on some ranch dressing, you know, bacon bits, chips, croutons, you know, and all those things. And you have something that satisfies you but isn't good for you. But if you want to, you know, enjoy it for the good of it, you can get a salad, you know, throw some spinach leaves on there, you know, a little vinaigrette, and it's healthy for you. And you're like, wow, this is still good.
Yeah.
You know, it's any way you look at it.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of these kind of smaller bands gaining popularity, they're starting to get noticed. Black Keys just won two Grammys.
Nominated for four.
Mm-hmm.
No, they won three. Best performance by a duo or a group, best alternative album, and best package or something like that, production package.
Okay.
And the drummer's brother, Michael Carney, was their designer and producer, basically.
Oh, yeah.
So they have that family, the family element in there, too, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And, you know, they went up against some pretty powerful stuff in what they competed
against. They went against for alternative album, which was their, without a doubt, their biggest win of that night.
Mm-hmm.
They went up against, like, I don't know, they went up against Kings of Leon, didn't they? They were nominated.
Let me check on that.
And then I know Broken Bells were. That's Danger Mouse and the lead singer from The Shins. And that's a powerful collaboration.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of people may argue this. I didn't think it was that weak of a year in the Grammys. There was some pretty beefy stuff in there. You know, Katy Perry to an extent. Lady Gaga, Eminem. Lady Antebellum's thing, which, you know, wasn't good, but it was powerful in the sense of...
Some of the awards were kind of, you know... It's like Best New Artist was... What's her face?
Esperanza Spalding.
Yes. I was like, I've never heard of her.
Even though she's been around for 10 years, so how's that a new artist?
Yeah. I heard about that too. It's like, really? I don't.
Mm-hmm. But we got the Grammy nominations here. Let's find them really quick. Best Rock Performance by a Duo or a Group with Vocals. They were up against Arcade Fire, which we know we'll get back to. That Resistance by Muse. Radioactive by Kings of Leon. That's good stuff.
Go to Alternative Music Album.
Let's see. Alternative music album.
I think it's Brothers, Broken Bells.
Oh, look, Best Rock Song. We got some Neil Young on there. Kings of Leon, Muse again. Mumford & Sons, they were really big.
Yep.
Best Alternative Music Album, The Suburbs by Arcade Fire, which won Best
That's right,
album.
Yeah, it got beat out, but it eventually won again.
Broken Bells, that we was just talking about. Contra, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
That's good. So they really did some good stuff.
Yeah, and I think those wins were well deserved. I mean, they've been around for 10 years, and to finally come out of the woodwork just in 2009
mm-hmm.
is, you know, it's a testament to how much they've been consistent and stuck around.
Yep. Nominated for 3, 1-2. It's pretty good.
Yep.
But possibly the biggest win of the night for the little guy was Arcade Fire upsetting Eminem, Lady Gaga,
Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Recover by Eminem, Need You Now by Lady Antebellum, Gross, Teenage Dream by Katy Perry, that was popular, Fame Monster, Lady Gaga, very good. I'd say probably three of those albums could have a say for the best album, you know, Suburbs, Recovery, yeah. Fame Monster, definitely. But no one expected Arcade Fire to win, and when they won, the first thing they did when they got on stage...
they're like, what the hell?
Yeah. They didn't expect that, and I don't think anyone in the music world expected it. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately... they got a lot of backlash on that from people that listen to popular music today.
First of all, people were asking, like, who the hell is Arcade Fire?
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're not as well-known as any of those other artists, but, I mean, they've done some good stuff. And we're going through on their Wikipedia page, which, yeah, we went on Wikipedia. But, I mean, they have eight members in their band. They play at least three times that amount of instruments.
Yep.
I mean, they're so talented that... once I look at it now, it's really not as big of a surprise that they won Best Album.
And just because you haven't heard of them doesn't mean they're not good.
Yeah, I said that. Like, if just because you haven't heard The Suburbs doesn't mean, you know, you have to automatically diss them.
I had never tried Thai food. I had barely even heard of Thai food. Someone took me out to that place used to be by Walmart. Thai food's great.
Thai blessings, I miss Thai blessings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it upset me because a lot of people said, you know, oh, I'm so mad Arcade Fire won. Why are you mad? Oh, I just didn't want them to win.
It's just, yeah, they said, oh, it's just dumb.
I've never heard of them. They shouldn't win. So? You know, who heard of that guy that just won the Daytona 500 in NASCAR, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's upsets or upsets.
Who heard of Y.E. Yang when he beat Tiger Woods?
Nobody, but...
It's just crazy, you know? I wish people wouldn't hate so much on this stuff, because, you know, take some time and listen to it. I'll admit, I had heard maybe two or three songs by Arcade Fire. I was a little surprised their album won. I thought Fame Monster was going to win, and a lot of people thought Eminem was due because he's been screwed over a lot. But I got a couple Arcade Fire albums, listened to them, and I'm like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah.
I may have to hear The Suburbs, but I am expecting...
The Suburbs isn't my favorite album, but it definitely should have been a contender, and it was.
I mean, if it's anything like the albums I've listened to, then, you know, it's obviously good enough to win Best Album. So.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I think that's about all we have to talk about on there.
There's many more good artists. We just don't have enough time to mention them all.
Mm-hmm.
System of a Down, although they're on hiatus a few years ago.
Talk of reunion, though.
Well, yes, talk of a reunion. And Soundgarden reunion, Rage Against the Machine reuniting.
Yep. There's a lot of good music out there. People, you just got to look for it. And if you're some of the people that know this good music, you know, a lot of it's indie rock right now, or indie music in general, don't be a dickhead. Share the music. Just because you know it and you knew them before they became big doesn't mean it makes you any better or makes people that like that music any worse.
Yeah.
If music is good, share the music. I mean, definitely share the music.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you guys want to say on that, or shall we move on to our final topic?
Move it on.
Let's move on.
We're moving on to our final topic. Everyone's favorite topic in this room.
Glee.
Yay!
So we've been left with two episodes now since our last Highballs podcast. We have the Bieber Fever episode, and what was this last one called? House Party, maybe?
Blame It on the Alcohol.
Blame It on the Alcohol, that's right. Start with the Bieber episode. What did you guys think?
Bieber, I am never impressed with Justin Bieber, and I was even less impressed with Glee's interpretation of it.
Mm-hmm. I think that... I agree. There was some... decent moments in the episode, very few and far between, though. It just felt a lot like the Power Britney Spears episode again, though, but not as bad.
I liked the Power Britney Spears episode. I don't know what you're talking about.
There was no plot. Shani, you have something to say?
I don't know. I mean, it was kind of a back half of season one episode.
Okay, yeah, I totally agree with that. I can barely even remember the episode. That's how much it did for me.
Yeah.
I can name you everything that happened in the Valentine's episode, despite everything that happened in that Super Bowl episode, but I can't name you a whole lot that went on in this episode.
All I remember was Sam dumped Quinn.
Yeah.
That's all I took
Santana
from that.
And Santana and him got together, right?
Yep. And that segues into the next episode, which I think we should focus more on that episode, because it was a better episode.
Much better episode.
Great.
Rachel's parents or dads go out of town. She has a house party, wants to serve wine coolers, but everyone's like, F that, let's get some alcohol. So what did you guys think of the whole party scene?
I thought it was a little unrealistic, while still being pretty fun.
Yeah, it was... It was pretty good. One thing that bugged me, though, was every time he turned around, it seemed that Sam and Santana were kissing, and Quinn would always kind of look over with that hurt look on her face, and you think, is anything going to happen, or is she just going to stand there? And it turns out she's just going to stand there.
She's going to stand there and look hurt, yes. Mm-hmm. I thought the whole Rachel Blaine thing was a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're just trying to create more controversy and fit Rachel more into the storyline now that she's not really doing anything important.
Give her some inspiration at the end of the episode to write her song, she said.
Yeah.
Which I can't see any way, shape, or form it's going to be a good song.
No.
People will eat it up, though, because it'll be hollow lyrics and catchy, cream-filled music. So, yeah, that's what I see happening with that. I didn't like how everything was just kind of neatly wrapped up into a nice little bow at the end. Like, they threw up on stage during the performance. Schuster got called out all over the school on the intercom for his drunk dialing Sue. And the principal's just like, oh, your special effects of the barf are so cute. And Mr. Schuster, you should get some help. What?
No, that's...
No.
That would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Someone should have got suspended at least. I don't care if it was Schuster sticking up for the kid saying, it's my fault, I'll be suspended, or the kids getting suspended. Something should have happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
These kids were drinking alcohol in the gymnasium at a school assembly.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like that can just go unnoticed.
And how does one night of partying make you a raging alcoholic? Because, like, Rachel drank a lot through the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot. This was the first episode in a long time I've actually liked Kurt. He didn't complain a whole lot.
No, which is new for him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really surprising considering the situation.
Oh, yeah.
You figured he would just be like a complete mess after
the whole Rachel Blaine
kiss, but, you know.
He didn't tear up once and he didn't get whiny, which is what I like.
Oh,
yeah.
That was great.
And he let it play out for once.
Because I think he knew how it was going to play out.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
What do you think, ladies? Best part of the episode?
Shots to Kesha!
The Kesha song was pretty good, I was surprised.
The shots before.
Oh, shots, so. Well, somehow they found a way to auto-tune Kesha more than she already is auto-tuned. Thank you, Glee. Brittany, I think, is a very strong dancer. Her vocals were okay, albeit it's a Kesha song.
And it was auto-tuned, but...
She was hot as the blaze.
I knew you were going to say that. I was watching it, and I was like, Reese has to be like...
The blazes. Dude.
You have to watch it.
She was.
Yeah, no.
She was actually just like Kesha.
Still don't need to watch it.
That was fantastic. Best part of the episode, real quick. Going on the table.
Oh, gosh. Don't start with me. I can't think of it.
I got mine.
I just gave you mine.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, mine. Best part at the party when Finn is explaining the different types of drunk. That was too perfect.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
What did he have? He had the giggly girl drunk. He had the angry drunk, which is perfect. He had the stripper drunk.
Mm-hmm. And then the clingy.
The clingy desperate drunk.
And the weepy drunk. I like Santana.
Yeah. And I think it's safe to say, guys here, we've all been to a party where we've experienced at least all those kinds of drunk females. Are we right?
Yeah. That's spot on.
Spot on, mate. So, any last words on Glee before we sign off?
I think that's all we got. Can't wait till next week's episode.
With Gwyneth Paltrow coming back.
Oh, boy!
Yeah, as the Holly Holiday character, where she gets romantic with Mr. Schuster.
Thanks,
about time.
Yep, my sweater vests will be coming out, and I will be sure to be plopped in front of my TV Tuesday night. And we hope you spread the word on Highballs and Lowbrows, the podcast. Our email address is highb_n_lowb@yahoo.com. Twitter us at highb_n_lowb. And be on the lookout for a selection show and a musical bracket involving a rock and roll tournament of bands. The bracket's all made up. We've had our selection show. It's going to happen in the next week and a half. So spread the word. We thank you for listening to us. This is Highballs and Lowbrows, honest and eloquent opinions for the everyman, from the everyman.